Of breakthrough believers. We're starting off here in chapter 7. We're going to take a look at the characteristics of breakthrough believers. These characteristics include, number one, moved ahead to pioneer a new move of God. Number two, moved under intense pressure to set the pace. Number three, moved without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. Number four, moved in progressive revelation to stay relevant. Number five, moved under subjection to spiritual authority. And number six, moved collectively and corporately toward destiny. And finally, number five, moved with a prevailing mentality to influence the community. Now, there are clear, distinctive characteristics in breakthrough believers. Their unique features allow them to be singled out from the masses. Those who see them will know that they are making a difference, and those who meet them will know the kingdom presence of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. And so as breakthrough, these breakthrough believers that God is raising up, how many know they're going to stand out? And that's you. Praise God. Now, in Isaiah 61 and 9, it says, then their offspring will be known among the nations and their descendants in the midst of the people. All who see them will recognize them because they are offsprings whom the Lord has blessed. So, see, with the what God is doing as it relates to the apostolic and how God is continuing legacy and that sort of thing and stuff. Even the people that you're connected to, people should know that there's something special about you. There's something different about you because they got so much things in the religious community, and a lot of it don't have anything to do with God. So, I mean, even the people who, it's like we're not only responsible for ourselves, but we're also responsible for people that we influence or people who. Whose life will affect. You understand? I mean, it can't be just about you. You understand? So now that I don't want to get ahead of myself, let me go to this next scripture. Is Acts 11, 19. It says, so then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. See that there's a work that's going on, and connection, like the apostle said, connection is very important. Connection is very, very important. So it says, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man of, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So, you know, there was about kingdom business, there was about kingdom advancement. In applying the governing principles mentioned in the last chapter, we'll be able to raise a new breed whom the church can be built upon and the kingdom advance through. All right. See, in this, with the apostolic, that's, we have to understand governance. So in order to operate in government, we have to have governing principles. We have to be able to see, we cannot just do things like Apostle was saying. We just can't do what we feel like is a good thing to do. But we have to really have God's plan. Now, and that's one of the reasons why when we're following, just like, you know, following Apostle, then a lot of folk, this is something a lot of folk cannot catch. They cannot catch this. Now, if God called me to follow Apostle, then guess what? His agenda become my agenda. You understand what I'm saying? So we can have a whole lot of egos and say, well, I got my own church. I got my own thing that God has called me to do. Now, if God has called me to follow somebody, then I'm going to find my assignment wrapped up in what he told them to do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so his agenda becomes my agenda. So these breakthrough believers reveal unique characteristics that set them apart from the normal institutional church believers. You know, I remember we was in these associations and things back in the day and stuff. You know, if you had a title, you know, you were this or you were. But I saw a leader in place, but it was like everybody followed the denominational structure instead of the leadership. You understand what I'm saying? And so people were just after titles. There was after titles, and you know, and so if they started off at this level and they made it here, you know, they just felt like they were important. And never had the identity of that leader, that because the leader didn't know. The leader didn't even understand it. All right. So God placed upon them unique characteristics that would set them apart and make them different in this make a difference in this dying world. Now, characteristic number one, move ahead to pioneer a new move of God. They have the ability to move ahead to pioneer a new move of God for kingdom advancement, breaking the barriers of culture, race, and human limitations. You know, that's some things that that Apostle has done, you know, pioneering. And so let me say this. Many times people set out to do a work for God without being sent out. Now, you're not going to find it in the Bible. I mean, you'll find a whole lot of people doing it, but you're not going to find it in the Word of God where folk just went out and just started a move, you know, started something. No, I mean, you'll find people who did it, but you'll not find in the Bible where they were supposed to just go out and do that. See, most in the early church, everything came from getting the instruction from the apostle and then carrying out the assignment as they were sent forward. See, because when they're sent forward, now you got the backing of the anointing that's on the person who sent you. And you're not out there trying to make something happen. You're not out there trying to do something, you know, just to prove to somebody, you know, hey, that I'm anointed. Hallelujah. See, there's a lot of baby Christians who try to impress folk. You understand? But when you mature and you understand, hey, I'm not to go out before. I don't care who else. Most times when people get this urge and they want to go, many times it's because somebody in their family is gone and they're trying to impress them. Yeah, right. You know, somebody else has started a ministry. So, you know, I feel like the Lord is calling me, but it seems like I'm being held back. Held back from what? Who want to hold you back? Right. You with me? And so it's so crazy. But when God established you, watch this, y'all. I'm finna say this. See, everywhere that apostle go, I'm going. You with me? All right. Okay. All right. Now, somebody say, you know, well, when you going to start your own ministry? You can start going, I'm not going to start it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I'm not going to start it. Now, if the apostle said, look, I need to send you here.
Right.
Well, now
right.
I'm going because I've been sent.
Right.
Hallelujah. And the Lord loved it. God said, this is what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting on a people, amen, who would lock down and lock into governing principles according to what the way I've established it and not go on their own and trying to make something happen. Many times they're making the body of Christ just making it look like, you know, a circus.
Right. Right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So every pioneer will have to face the challenges of being willing to be a seed that will fall to the ground and die alone. Let me say this. If you're not willing to die, you're not ready for ministry.
Yes.
Not only that, if you're not ready to be alone,
That's right.
You're not ready for ministry.
Right.
See, if you worrying about how everybody feel about you and how whether people like you or not, you're not ready for ministry. Because there's a time in ministry when you're going to walk by yourself. By yourself. Look like everybody. Even you can have people around you and you still feel like you're by yourself. And you're not trying to do anything to really, impress people, to try to get people, you know. I did this for a long time. I was really, you know, trying to... You know, I was young, and I was just trying. I just want everybody to just like me. Boy, you know, I got called to preach, and I found out quick that folk not going to like you.
Right.
And you going to be running around in circles if that's what you're trying to get people to do.
Because
it's not going to happen. It's when you really call, there's some loneliness. Hallelujah. So you have to be a seed that's willing to fall to the ground and die alone. And then after death has taken place, it shall bear forth much fruit. As a pioneer, we have to face the lack of role models and examples in that field we're in advancing. If we have any other agenda or passion for glamour, it will all fade away. It is not about being, listen to me. It is not about being seen by men.
Right, right, right.
It is not about, it is, sometimes people think that the pulpit is a place, you know, where, you know, you all this glamour and everybody is applauding you and everybody talking about how wonderful you are. No, that's where everybody talking about you at. Praise God. Say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Jesus. No, you're in a place where, you know, people take more shots at you.
Right.
Yeah.
Our choosing to move ahead will open up new territories for God to impact the regions around us. Now, see, putting this all into perspective and that sort of thing and stuff. See, when you understand these governing principles and when you've been submitted under an apostle, And you send out, see, you're ready to go out and do some things, but you cannot take off on your own. Now the second characteristic, moved under intense pressure to set the pace. These breakthrough believers have the ability to move under intense pressure, allowing God to fashion their character and raise the standard for the succeeding generations to follow. I was sharing with my church the other day. I was on my way to Houston. I was just, you know, just my wife and I, we was going down there just for a couple of days. And so I'm riding down. And so God says to me, he says that I am moving you to a higher level of character. So, you know, I'm okay, Lord. But so then he says to me, he says that, you don't have to answer to everything.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when folks say something or something, you know, say something crazy, you got to answer somebody, tweet something crazy, somebody put something on Instagram real crazy, and then, you know, you had to answer them back. The Lord said, no, you don't have to answer to everything. And then he starts. So I'm riding down the road. So I get to Houston, and we get there about 6:30, something like that, and the room is not ready. And so I said, you know, the young lady, you know, she kind of nasty and stuff, you know. So God had already talked to me, you understand? So I didn't say, hold up, my name is Dr. Phillips. What my room is, no, I didn't say anything. So I went over and told my wife, I said, they said the room be ready in about 35, 40 minutes. She said, what? She said, who? She said, I thought checkout time was 12 and they had the room ready for 3. I said, usually, I said, but I don't know what's going on. I said, we're just going to chill, though. So the girl, she left from there. Another girl came, and I just eased right on up. I said, ma'am, I said, y'all regular time for checking in is after 3. I mean, y'all don't have the rooms clean and stuff. She said, what's your name? I said, Phillips. So she said, your room is ready. Now, this was 3 minutes ago. The other girl told me I had to wait 35, 40 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? So I didn't make no kind of moderation or nothing out there. I just went and sat down. And so, and see, what God is trying to show us that we have to trust him in everything.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I go the next day, I go to the mall. I get in the mall, I got on a jogging suit, I got on my cap, and I got it kind of turns kind of a little bit to the side. Just a little bit. and so I walk in the store, and you know, people in there and stuff, they waiting. I'm in the men's section, and they, sir, can I help you? But nobody says anything to me. So, you know, and then I see a guy over there, he looking like I'm trying to steal something. God just finished talking to me when I was on my way to Houston. God, so you don't have to answer to everything. You know, I want to say to him, hold on, what you think? I want to steal something? Man, I got money. I want to pull out, you know. Man, I got, you know. I said, no. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said, no, you really don't need no help. You know what you're looking for. Just go over there and get it. So I went over there and stuff. So now I'm thinking, I said, now when I go back, he going to try to get that register so he can get this commission. I ain't letting him get nothing. Then the Lord said, well, I said, okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Put it up there. You know, they just said, treat me nice. Yeah. And I went ahead on and paid for it and everything and stuff. And went to another store. The same thing. I said, this must be my day. But when God is trying to train you, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Then there's just some things that you just gonna have to trust him with.
Yes, yes.
You just got to trust him. And so by the time I made it home, you know, I got home. I think I'm got home because they told me that Apostle was having a class Friday. Well, I was planning on coming back that Friday night, but there's a meeting that Apostle has called, so this trip has to be cut short.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So I left Thursday night. I left Thursday night by 7:30. You know, getting back so I can get here for 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock Friday morning. But that morning, I'm just minding my own business, and go out in the yard, and somebody come to my house. They said they have $1,000 they want to give me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I say, Lord, teach me more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because, listen to me. Because God is trying to take us higher because of the people that's following.
Yes.
because of things that he want to do in them. So the pressure of the persecution produced a better quality of men for the kingdom. Persecution. You're going to be persecuted as a Christian, but you can't cry. The prevailing mindset and overcoming spirit allowed the breakthrough believers to rise above the suffering to advance the kingdom. We must be trained to never fall back. Never fall back, but push forward despite hardship and pressures. Psalm 7, 8, 9, and 10 says, the sons of Ephraim were archers equipped with arrows, yet they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Now, you got to understand, these folk already knew what God had did for their forefathers. I mean, they were there, you know, when God split the Red Sea open and that sort of thing and stuff. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to break your covenant with God. You're going to turn your back on God. And the thing about it is, you skilled. You have an ability that you have, and you're going to turn your back. First of all, all you got to do is look at the people of God's track record, and you'll find out that they really didn't even have to fight. God fought for them. And you turn your back on God. So we must never allow Satan to make us turn our back on God, to fall. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We can't let persecution. I don't care. You understand? You can't let no kind of persecution, nowhere, no how, turn you around. Not at all. Not at all. So the sons of Ephraim had a double portion blessing of grace upon them. They were trained and skilled men of war, but chose to break the covenant with God when they were most needed for national victory. God was going to get the glory out of it. You with me? Praise God, but they turned their backs. So breakthrough believers are not quitters. They do not allow the enemy to come through them to defeat Israel. They station themselves wisely so that they're always the strongest link in the chain. Now, Nehemiah 4:14, it says, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. So the most exposed places are guarded by the presence of the strongest men. We must stand under the pressure to fight for deliverance and the safety of others. God needs this company of fearless defenders of the kingdom. They defy hell and all that is against them in order to complete their mission. When these mighty men arise, the standard in the house of God will be raised. The next company of fellowship will walk in a higher order of kingdom living. Praise God. We've seen it in the church for years and years. We saw it's still the people getting stronger in the church. We saw people getting weaker because a lot of the leadership was weak. You understand? So people just follow right on through with that. I asked y'all this question before, and it bears asking again. Where did you learn to follow God from? Did you learn to follow God from somebody who half-heartedly followed God? Or did you learn to follow God from somebody who's intense? And see, that's one of the things that Apostle is trying to train us. I say this to my church. I have never seen anybody nowhere who followed God as intense as Apostle. I have not. I mean, you may have. I haven't. And I've been around some men of God. You understand what I'm saying? And so if we miss what God is doing, then we're going to fall into the trap that men have fell in for years and years, which caused the church to be weaker. You know, all we're doing is trying to get us an outline. All we're doing is trying to please people and not really advancing the kingdom of God. And so So even with the school, you know, what God has told him to do, raise up giants. Raise up giants to go out into the land. And that's not going to be afraid of anything. So we have to have an example. We got to have an example, not just an example. We got to have the right example in front of us. And that's one of the things that Apostle has been for years and years and years. So when he accepted the title of apostle, that didn't when he started. That's not when he started being apostle. I mean, he was operating in apostolic for years before he even accepted that call.
Yes, sir.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And always had a hunger to teach people how to, amen, how to follow God. Always had that. Praise God. I've been following for 19 years now, ever since I've been. And before that, you know, in Baton Rouge, I told him, you know, it was like, I don't know if I started preaching or not, but this is how Darryl was in Baton Rouge back then when I was first started. It was like somebody was cooking, you know, you ever been somewhere where somebody cooking something real good and it smell real good? And you say, I don't know where that's coming from, but man, that smell good. Why in the world? So that was aroma that was in Baton Rouge that was coming from Darryl, but preachers, pastors, they were afraid. So they start saying negative things about apostles so the people wouldn't come. And so for years and years, they've been doing that. But they know that something I'll never forget. We had a funeral in Baton Rouge. And so apostle is there. You know, other preachers that there was a pastor that died. And so apostle, you know, he gets up and he shares what God put in his heart. So all these preachers, when he getting ready to leave, all these preachers saying, "Man, Doc, I'm coming down to your church, man. Man, I mean, you know, they was lying." You know what I'm saying? Now, I think that at the time, I mean, they were all, you know, they want to shake his hand, man. They know that there's something different here. And so they, you know, they want just shaking his hand and all that and stuff. And so they saying, you know, man, I got to come down there. And one pastor from this big old church in Baton Rouge, he say, man, like I got to come down there and stuff. I'm saying to myself, But I think that at the moment, I really think that they had good intentions.
Right, right.
But when it came to their spiritual ignorance, not senses. Then they say, no, we can't go down there because if we do, our church, our people going to follow us down there and we're going to, you know, we're going to lose folk. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I got a few more minutes. The third characteristic, move without compromise to deliver the unadulterated truth of God. The breakthrough believers continue to teach and preach what they heard. Look at this, from the apostles in Jerusalem. They what? Continue to teach and preach. They continue to preach and teach. And I told you. Luke 4 and 18. And Isaiah, what is it, 60 or 61. Isaiah, Jesus was preaching from Isaiah 60. Wait a minute. Let me see where it's at. Let me see where it's at because I don't want to just say it. I think it's Isaiah 61. I think it's 60. Is it 61? Hold on. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Yeah, 61. And the first verse say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And then, so Jesus, the same scripture what Isaiah preached from, Jesus preached from it there in that fourth chapter, 18th verse. So this is what I came up with. If Jesus could preach Isaiah's message,
come on now.
Then I can preach apostles' message.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So, see, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You understand what I'm saying? So, because, and see, I don't have no shame. I don't have no shame in my game. You go on my website, and you can see the message that I preach, and they're going to be just like the one that apostle preach.
Yes, sir.
Because you know what? Because when he finished preaching, when he finished preaching Sunday, I have the outline for that this week.
Yeah.
See, See, that's really how the church is supposed to move. See, we get these big old egos, man. We get these big old egos, and we got to, Lord, I know you got a word for me. God said, yeah, I just gave a word. I just, you understand what I'm saying? But let me go back here. I got 5 more minutes. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to read it again. The breakthrough believers continue to teach and preach what they heard from the apostles in Jerusalem. They delivered what they received without adulterating or compromising the message of truth. When the truth is lived out before it is delivered, the spirit of life is made flesh, and we will receive grace upon grace. Hallelujah. Now, in John 1 and 14, it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then verse 16 says, for of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So people will receive special grace as they listen to the truth we're imparting. All right. So we become a partaker of apostles' grace. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, I've had people to say, man, this dude here, man, he just try to be like Pastor Thompson. I just say, and? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, tell me something I don't know.
Right.
Come on. I mean, wait a minute. If somebody is successful, the hand of God is upon them.
Yes.
Why in the world am I trying to recreate a will?
Come on.
When God has already put something before me.
Yes.
And the Bible talks about, let me see. Oh, look at my time. I'm gonna stop right there. Praise the Lord. All right. So y'all finished studying out that seventh chapter. How many more classes we have? He say two. We got two. Okay, all right. We'll finish up this chapter. If apostles say the same. That's right. Cause the next two sessions he might take the whole thing. You know what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You think I'm gonna be worrying about coming up here teaching? No, indeed. Hallelujah.